Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast. My name is Larry Chappell, and I'm here with my dad. We've got a good discussion planned for today. Of course, right now, as of this recording, we are in a bit of a defining moment, and that's what we've entitled today's podcast, Leading Through These Defining Moments. Mm-hmm. And in the moment, you don't have the luxury of hindsight. Right. And so I've been watching, Dad, you lead our staff and our church family, and just really trust God and pray for wisdom. But it seems like through the course of a ministry, and you can speak to this in just a moment, but ministries have three or four defining moments. And so I think there's some lessons that can be learned in this moment that have broad application.
That's right.
Whether it be a relaunch of a church or a moment like this that we're in where we've not been meeting, but we're going to be coming back. And what I love about what we're going to talk about today is that the application, it doesn't matter the size of the church or the location or the region, that these principles that you've pulled from the book of Nehemiah have great insight into our lives, regardless of that defining moment. But would you speak to this idea of Nehemiah being in that defining moment?
Well, you know, you think about Nehemiah, he was a man that was the king's cupbearer, and, you know, he had these years with Artaxerxes. He, like all the other children of Israel, was in Babylonian captivity. He had a life before the captivity. He ascended during the captivity. But no one talks about all of those days in Nehemiah's life. They really talk about the 52 days in which he built the wall. So that was his defining moment, and it's like they often say, the crisis doesn't develop the character, it reveals the character. So Nehemiah had an amazing walk with God before this difficult time came upon him. But then to watch how God led him during that defining moment in his life, I've gone back to the book of Nehemiah so many times because it's so relevant to the crises, the critics, you know, the process management, the budget, the permits. I mean, it just amazes me every time I read it. And it's like the crises we're in now, it's so multifaceted. And so I hope that some things today will help wherever you are in this crisis.
And 10 months, 12 months from now, everyone's going to be an expert on it. But in the moment, we've had to rely on God's wisdom. And I know many of you are doing the same thing. I even think of the past few months in this moment of quarantine and with the COVID epidemic, that God has led us to do some things and cancel conferences and pivot in ways we never would have planned.
Right. And it's expanding our ministry and deepening our walk, you know.
Mm-hmm. So we're not through it, but I feel like we can already look back and say God's been with us and leading us. And again, our exact blueprint isn't going to be your exact blueprint, but what I'm excited about today's discussion, these are just biblical principles that you can apply to.
They're landmarks. Yeah, they're landmarks that God used in Nehemiah's life. He's used them in my life during other defining moments, and he's using them now. And I'm glad that we have such a reliable book, God's Word, to go back to. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to read one verse that might set this up today from Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2. It says, verse 1, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and he took great indignation, and he mocked the Jews." By the way, not everyone during a time of difficulty roots for the church. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And Sanballat was not happy about God's people building the wall. Then it says, "And he spake before his brethren and army of Samaria, and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned?" And when I think about defining moments, a lot of times we're taking what the world views as stones of rubbish, you know, just the stones in the rubbish pile. And they're rhetorically saying, what's Nehemiah going to do? Is he going to take these stones and revive the stones? And that is exactly what he did. Nehemiah had a vision to see what the world saw was just a junk pile. Jerusalem, the stones, the children of Israel. But Nehemiah saw more than that. And a defining moment is always going to start with that spiritual vision to say, yeah, we're down, but God can make a way. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something that I hope, whether you're a church planner starting with a group that has been burned, or whether you've had a church split, or whether your building program didn't go the way you want it to go, or whether you're trying to figure out where to go with COVID, that these principles will help.
So let's go through them. What's the first thing as you look at the life of Nehemiah? What's the first thing that sticks out in your mind that he did in this defining moment?
Well, Nehemiah began first and foremost with prayer. And that's really where I'd like to just spend a moment, because this is a spiritual leadership podcast. And when I think about Nehemiah's response back in chapter 1, when he heard that the city was in reproach, it says that he wept and he prayed and he fasted. Mm-hmm. And of course, fasting is bringing our prayer to fullest fruition. And that's something that we don't do enough of. But when you are in that defining moment, a lot of times you know that if God doesn't intervene, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, how did Nehemiah build that wall in 52 days, right? Mm-hmm. How have we seen some great ministries pivot and go on to higher use for the Lord? It really begins with a brokenness, with a spirit, a humility of a leader. I'm telling you, Larry, you know, after 34 years of pastoring, I've seen so many guys that had all the answers that aren't even in the ministry now, or they're going to be the counselor to help all the other ministry families, but they lost theirs, or they're going to be the counselor to the missionary. I mean, there's so many experts that have all the answers, but those that really are successful in these defining moments are the ones who start the defining moment with this spirit. God, without you, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think prayer, just fervent prayer and fasting and seeking God, is so needed. I'm telling you, even in the decisions we're making now, for example, when do you start services, right? Mm-hmm. And how? And should we have Sunday night? And what is the state saying? And what is the county saying? My goodness. The conflicting messages in a moment like this should force us to get before God, mm-hmm. and really say, God, we need to know what to do.
I think that's so good, because sometimes in moments like this, it seems like we go to, you know, all the online experts,
yeah.
and we look for a template and the quick
right.
answers to the question. But if we are doing that and yet have not gone fervently before God and sought His will and His leading, we're really wasting our time and everything else. And
that's
so
right.
Even today, hopefully there's some good takeaways in this podcast. And I don't know what brought you to this podcast, but if you're in one of these moments and you're looking for some insightful tips and helps, hopefully you get some of those. But the first one is go seek God's
right.
face and trust and rely on His leading in your life to get you through.
And you know, Larry, you know how much I love Brother Gibbs, and he's been a help to us over the years. And I'll just illustrate this principle of prayer with this thought. I really felt it necessary to at least contact the governor with respect to our plan for coming back to worship. We'd been at every other level of government. And I wanted him to know the heart of our church, the gospel message, and our desire to get back and such. So I talked to Dr. Gibbs, and he said, I'll help you with that. And he wrote a letter. It was masterful. It was full of law. And I took that and I prayed about it. And I just felt like the letter needed to be for me. And I called Brother Gibbs and I spoke with him. I said, Brother Gibbs, the Lord's put this on my heart that this letter needs to be for me. I'd like to include a few of the legal opinions, but more than that, just to share my heart for worship. And Brother Gibbs immediately said, if God is putting that on your heart as the approach, then go with it. But I say that to simply say, as much as I have cherished counselors, that in these moments, you have to get the mind of God. And if so, I just say that whatever dilemma has brought you to this place of a defining moment, remember that God wants to be in the middle of it with you. And it's not a time to, you know, show how good you are or get out and do it your way like Frank Sinatra, right? Get the mind of God.
I love that. We've been with the teens, we've been talking through the book of Joshua, and one of the commentaries I read said that when you look at the book of Joshua, Joshua was not the main character of the book. God was the central character.
Right.
And he asked the question, who's the central character in your life? And at the end of the defining moment, who do you want to be at the center?
Absolutely.
Do you want it to be you that you manufactured or you made something happen, or how it should be that, man, God gets all the glory in the defining moment. And if the defining moment in the end is only bringing glory to you, it wasn't really truly a God moment, because at the end, God is going to get the glory in these defining moments.
You know, I was reading this morning in the book of Daniel, and he was praying for Jerusalem during this same time of captivity. And he said, God, it's your city, and it's for your glory that I want this prayer to be answered. And we have to remember that in these moments. It's hard, because sometimes when you're hurting or you're scared, you want to look like the leader that led everybody out, but it's really got to be God that leads. So
As we look through the life of Nehemiah, we see prayer. He fervently went before the Lord. What else do you see?
Well, then I see this leader who was probably expected to like start articulating and leading, but instead, from his prayer time, we see him taking men and literally in chapter 2, walking around the walls. I love where it says there that, you know, he told no man what was in his heart, what God had put in his heart. And they walked around the different gates. They walked around the different fountain areas. He's literally just pondering what's going on there. And so I think the second step is to make assessments, to seriously look at how did we get into this situation? If it's a church that was running 300 that's now running 12, or whatever it is, to know the situation. I always tell the graduates of West Coast Baptist College that take a church, don't try to change everything in the first few months. Just take time to learn who are the influencers in the church and what's the history of the church and the DNA of the church. And so I really believe that in these defining moments that there's wisdom in assessing where we are, how we got here, and what are we going to need to get out. Nehemiah, I mean, he was looking at it at a different level. He was thinking in terms of lumber. He had to get lumber from Lebanon. He was thinking in terms of builders and battlers and the strong tribe of Judah and the other tribes that might need different resources. So he was looking at personnel. He was looking at product. He was looking at process. And when we think about these times when you pivot into action, normally it should begin with prayer, and then it should have a period of assessment. For me, Larry, that usually means writing things down on a piece of paper, mm-hmm. writing down what counsel I got, writing down what an elected official said, writing down the budget, whatever the situation, before I talk. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've been telling you guys on staff the last few months is this: I'm not trying to hold all the cards so closely to my vest from the standpoint of not wanting to share, but there's been such a volatility to this COVID. I mean, national, state, county, local messaging's been so different. I didn't want to be just another uncertain voice that had a great strategy and then had to change it, you know? So I think making the assessments, budgetary assessments, staffing assessments, preaching, what am I going to preach? I think that's so critical during this making of a defining moment.
And then taking the time to assess to it. And I think for a lot of pastors, I know you're this way, you're very type A. You can see a problem and know how to fix it right away. But this assessment, I'm assuming, takes time.
It does. And when you talk about, maybe I might think I know how to fix it, but I've got to figure out, okay, our team that God's put together here, who are the people on this team to accomplish various aspects of this defining moment? And God's given us a great team. And Larry, you and Jeremy Lofgren and others have, you know, you pivoted into the online world. We were already there, but you took it to another level. The music staff ministering to people's hearts, I've been amazed at that. Our executive pastor with all of the prep for the comeback. It's a team effort. But I have to sense the timing of it, and I have to help resource it. And that just takes more than just a few minutes to put the plan together.
So this pondering, this assessment is not just like something you check off.
It's something that you test it, you try it, and you really talk it through from the standpoint of talking to the Lord and then just kind of writing it out before you talk it out verbally.
What else do you see in Nehemiah?
Well, I see Nehemiah as a manager. You know, someone said the difference between leadership and management is that managers do things well, but leaders do the right thing. And so, you know, a manager is one that does the process well, but a leader is someone that does the right thing with integrity. And so Nehemiah had both. And he sought permission to do the project, to leave King Artaxerxes, all of that. But then I see him, after he had that season of assessment, I see him now bringing those men, and they walk around the wall. And as they gathered, the Bible says that they which builded the wall, they bear burdens, those that laid it, everyone with his hands wrought in the work, the other hand held a weapon. You know, so it was, they had the threat coming against them. They had the sword and the trowel, so to speak. So Nehemiah needed to make sure they had whatever they needed to get the job done. And I think it frustrates people when we tell them we'd like them to teach the fifth grade, but we don't give them a description of what that looks like, right? For example, we're establishing entire committees right now. We're establishing a new committee of temperature takers. You know, who would have ever thought? I mean, we ordered 30 infrared thermometers. So I've been going over meticulously with Gabe Rule, who's going to hold those thermometers? Because I don't want to put them in the hand of just any overly zealous jokester, you know. And how are they used? And we cannot write down who had a temperature. That violates HEPA laws. And on it goes. But as you assess, then you begin to prepare your staff. Then next week, we call the people together for a training day. We prepare them. We walk through what is social distancing. So from my heart to the hearts of the leaders, to the hearts of the people, that's a several week process before we even have a first service. And so this defining moment will be made up of lots of moments of preparation.
One of the things that I've seen, not just in this moment, but through the entire history of our church family, is that anytime there's been a strategic moment, there's always been buy-in too. And right. So I feel like that's the other side for our church family, is this opportunity for them to be prepared, but for them also to buy in and to understand why this is important.
Well, and I think that goes back to Nehemiah's temperament or leadership style, but the fact that he walked those men around Jerusalem, he didn't tell them at first what was on his heart, just showed them the need. And then he shared the need, and then the people said, let us rise up and build, okay? I think that they said that because he didn't just start popping off, a fool utters all his mind, right? I think that he had this way of holding and then letting the vision be known, and then the people rallied to it. And I'll tell you, the thing that will determine the success of your next stewardship program is the success of this one right now. And whether it's building programs or times when you're having a defining moment because somebody left the church and they're saying so-and-so, the way you handle that is going to really determine the spirit of the church the next time somebody leaves the church. So if you handle it in a godly way, you don't try to explain your way, you don't try to gossip about it, you just stay steady, people tend to sense the spirit of the leader and follow the steadiness of that. And that becomes a part of his defining moment.
That's good. So he, in this defining moment, he first goes to God, and then he kind of does this personal assessment, and then he starts to prepare the people. What does Nehemiah do next?
Well, really what he does next is he establishes the purpose of it. And the purpose of it was that they would do this for their children, that they would do it for the next generation, for the glory of God, to protect the temple. And I think defining moments always cause people to realize there's something bigger in this life than just my agenda, something bigger in this life than just my defining moments, but this is a God moment. And the opposition from Sanballat and Tobiah coming against and criticizing, That was the testing of Nehemiah's vision. And so that can be expected. And if you're restarting a church, or I remember when I came here to Lancaster, I invited someone to church and at the bank, and she said, "Oh, I know all about that church. They're a bunch of hypocrites. We gave them money. They never thanked us." You know, sometimes you have to work through things like that in order to let people know that you're there with a purpose of really glorifying God. And our purpose has been to glorify God, to reach souls. We've tried to stay with that. Nehemiah was to glorify God and to establish something for future generations. And really, a defining moment, it's, you know, somebody might say, "Oh, my defining moment was when I got my 500th hit in the National Baseball League." But, you know, fact of the matter is that in God's economy, when we can connect people to the eternal, that's a defining moment. So,
yeah, that's good. What else do we see in this passage?
Well, I just see in Nehemiah this basic principle of persistence. And, you know, one of my favorite verses, Galatians 6:9, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." And Sanballat and Tobiah, they were always on Nehemiah. And some of my defining moments have resulted in criticism. They either started with criticism or resulted in it. So sometimes you'll have critics and opposition that bring you to a place of humility so that you can get closer to God. Sometimes you have a huge success, but then the critics come in there too. Someone said the only way to make everybody happy is probably to miserably fail, you know, because no one bothers you until you start to succeed. And as Nehemiah was succeeding, people were threatened by it. So they started to say things, and then they invited him to the plain of "Oh no," and so forth. And I think with these times, I just want to say to the pastors, just persist, just continuously, as in the Old Testament with Gideon, faint yet pursuing. And I just really believe that the fact that you may be having some criticism is a good indication that you're going the right way. Nothing going forward is going to go forward without meeting some friction along the way. So I think we learn from Nehemiah that a defining moment is a moment that not everyone's going to applaud you for, you know. But if God is leading and if he is pleased, then be settled with that. And you know, Larry, over the years, I've kind of worried more than I should, whether it's been local criticism. My ministry has been in our own community. We've always been too conservative for California, right? And then some people on the East Coast that were not conservative enough for whatever reason that they might want to write. You know, we had screens in the auditorium or whatever. So, you know, constantly getting it from the left and from the right. And what I have found is that if I can just get a hold of the mind of God, let the noise dissipate. And I'm thankful for you in that area, for mom, for some pastor friends, but mostly from the Lord who just helps us to persist. So I think defining moments require that persistent steadfastness.
I think that's a good thought, because we think of this defining moment, it almost sounds like the movie of a like movie title for an action movie or something, this defining moment, something spectacular. But then when you get into the nitty gritty of it, it's just Holy Spirit persistence every single day.
Yeah, and I want to just clear that too, because when we say defining moment, we're not talking about when you hit 1,000 in church or 2,000 in church. Some of my defining moments have been terrible moments of not victory, but just terrible times of defeat. But God define some things in my heart. And Nehemiah's defining moment began with weeping and fasting and praying,
right,
because his heart was broken, you know. So the peaks and the valleys God will take care of, but we have to persist during all of it.
Yeah. That's good. Mm-hmm. What else?
Well, I would just say finally, the thing that Nehemiah had was just a process to continue. And what I love about the book is when the wall was completed, they all gathered and they got the Bible out and they stood. And I can't recall exactly right now, but it was hours they stood and read the Bible. And I guess those are the bookends of Nehemiah's defining moment. I mean, he started with God and it ended with God. And, you know, he had all the management, all the leadership, all the budgetary wisdom throughout the book, but the thing about a spiritually defining moment is that God is at the beginning and God is at the ending of it. And you're able to look back and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. You look around this campus. I mean, so many of these buildings were defining moments, right? We've had defining moments where people died. We've had defining moments where there have been tragic situations. But then we saw raised up some great Christians through it. The key to it all is not that you have this perfect existence, but that you have this God-led existence, and that Jesus Christ is at the center of all of it, and then he does get the glory.
And the fact that he includes us in on all of
this. That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's so much bigger than we are. It's his church. And I think about this COVID, you know, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, I told our staff the other day, some of them, I said, look, I don't know what the number's gonna look like when we start having these services come back. Some people may not just rush back in. But it's one of those moments, and sometimes it's hard for us type A guys to say, this defining moment may or may not be measured by a superattendance chart, mm-hmm. right? But if God's doing something in our hearts through this and teaching us to pray and to wait on him, it can still be a defining moment.
Absolutely. I think that's a great thought. I think that's a great thought to end on.
That's
like
right.
You said, the bookmarks of these. So if you remember anything from this podcast, remember a defining moment truly ends and it begins and ends with God and
Amen.
Him getting the glory through all of that. So if you enjoyed this podcast, if you would help us out by liking, sharing, subscribing, telling others about it. And Dad, appreciate the time that we had today.
Enjoyed
Anything
it.
Else that you'd like to say?
No, appreciate everyone sharing these podcasts. And we want to share some good spiritual leadership emphasis that would be a help to you wherever you are as you face your defining moments. And we're praying for you and always love hearing from you.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Thanks for watching.